You know, last week we were talking about deliverance, and it was put on my heart that we continue on discussion of deliverance. I want to finish up what wasn't completed, and just to recap a little bit, let's go to Mark 16. Famous scripture, there. Mark 16. Glory to God. Let's go right to the Word. The Word alive is worth the drive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember, the Lord is looking for deliverers, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. So if we need to get delivered, then we can go deliver.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Mark 16, in verse 16, let's read it together. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe or who follow. In my name they will what?
Cast out demons.
They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And this is what is required of every believer. This is a requirement from every believer. God is expecting His children who are the offspring of Him, who walk in His image and likeness, to be casting out devils and laying hands on the sick. It's important. Amen? But of course we see that the first thing says that in my name they will what? Cast out demons. Praise be to God. So every believer has a ministry of deliverance. Now, there is an extensive ministry, right? But every believer should have his own ministry of deliverance. Not only must he keep himself delivered, but he must keep his house delivered. And anyone who comes through or to that individual, whether it be on the street or somebody in torment or whatever, if it's even if it's not casting out the devil at that time, but at least expressing the information of the need to have a devil cast out. Amen? Because the Bible tells us what? In Ephesians 6:12. Let's go there. Ephesians 6:12. So please understand that this is a requirement of a believer. God is requiring me and you to do these things. And you know, it's basically time, and God is pouring out His Spirit everywhere. Amen? And there are now those who did not believe in this or do it starting to come along. You know. And if we are the body of Christ, which we are the body of Christ, every believer should be moving in these areas. Every believer. It doesn't mean you're going to move in it the first day you're a believer. But by now, you should be moving in it. You know, by a certain period of time, everybody, this is the goal and the standard. This should be a norm for me and you as a believer to cast out a devil. It should be a norm to lay a hand on the sick. It should be normal. It should be a normal part of our life. That's normal. Jesus, when He came here, He was the only one that was normal. Everybody was abnormal. Praise God. Ephesians 6, let's start at verse 10. Let's read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Praise be to God. That's why it's required that you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So you're not in the power of your own might, but you're power in the might of the Spirit. Amen? Okay, number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the wiles means what? Trickery. Now, the Bible says that the Spirit guides us to all truth and tells us all truth. That's why many believers are being tricked. They're being given treats and getting tricked. And it ain't no event. And it certainly ain't no holiday. It's a demon day. Praise be to God. And of course, those who practice it are open doors for demonic activity and they're cursed. Hallelujah. But thank you for the blood of Jesus. And verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wow. So we're not fighting against one another. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against demons, devils, principalities, high-ranking angels, low-ranking angels, high-ranking demons, low-ranking demons. You're fighting against devils, demonic forces. Amen? Praise God. And 1 Peter chapter 5. So, in this deliverance, not only must we learn to deliver, be delivered, but we also must learn how to maintain deliverance. Does everybody get it? You know, many people have been healed and they can't maintain the healing. Or they've been delivered from demonic forces and so forth, and they can't, you know. People have been addicts and go back and backslide. There are reasons for that. So it's our responsibility that we maintain deliverance. Praise God. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But for right now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Everybody get it? Let's read it. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, the first thing that we must do is what? Humble ourselves. Huh? Okay. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, in other words, awake. Be vigilant, endure, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Wow. So he's looking to devour. Amen. It says in verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody's going through it. Everybody get it? Now, humble. We must be humble. Resist the attack. So you know what? We must, to be humble is to resist the attack. Everybody get it? So you must attack back in faith. Does everybody understand this? Watch this. Resist him steadfast in the what? In the faith. So we must resist him. In other words, we must resist his attack and attack him in the faith. Does everybody get it? Okay. Now, many of us are going through it. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be afflicted, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But let's go to verse 10, and it kind of gives us a conclusion of what's going on. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, in other words, we are going to suffer a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So all things work to the good to those who love the Lord, according to the word, right? So even though when the devil is attacking you, you must resist him steadfast. In other words, don't give up. And then attack him in the faith. Knowing that everybody in the whole body of Christ is going through the same thing, but not the same thing at the same time. Amen? Just different areas. Okay? And because of this, we know that all things are working to the good. So God is perfecting us during these trials and tribulations. The Bible says, count it all joy. So God is actually allowing certain things to happen and testing us and where we're at. Amen. And he's perfecting us. Sometimes people get attacked more because they're still so prideful. He's trying to beat down their pride. That's why the word says, humble yourself. James 4. James chapter 4. And verse 6. James 4, verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. But he gives more grace. Well, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is a representation of favor. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be afflicted. Everybody's going to be afflicted. Everybody's going to get sick. Everybody, you know, you're not going to outrun some of these things. But you can resist it steadfast in the faith and attack it in the faith. Amen? Praise be to God. So he says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You know, the longer somebody continues to be prideful, the more attack he gets. The more an individual humbles himself, the less attack he gets. But it doesn't mean that he won't not be attacked. Amen? And God shows him favor, doesn't he? Go to verse 7. Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. So again, we see this, that we must resist the devil, attack him, resist his fight, and attack him in the faith. And he will flee from you. Now, by humbling yourself means that you're what? Here it is, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. And it says what? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wow. So that means that you and I must be clean. The devil has more access to us when we're unclean. Praise be to God. Submit to God. Attack according to the word. In what? Faith. Listen, like I said, we are sinners, right? The Bible says we're sinners. So the devil has access to us. Do you know that your fallen nature is sin? Your flesh is sin. Sin's not gone. You just have dominion over it. Your flesh is the seed of the serpent. You have dominion over it. The Bible says that sin reigns in our members, but don't let it reign over you. So the devil has access to sin, doesn't he? Hello. Let's go to 1 John, chapter 5. So please understand, nobody walks perfect. There was only one who walked perfect, and that was Jesus. Every one of us does not walk perfect. Remember, the Word became flesh in Jesus. Our flesh is still sin. 1 John chapter 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we have dominion over it because he beat it all down in his flesh. Are we there? Verse 18. Read it with me. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Now you got to understand the meaning of this. It doesn't mean that the devil does not have access to you. And it doesn't mean that you're not born again. It talks about if you're walking in the Spirit, you'll have dominion over these things. Does everybody get it? We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Well, sin is in us, isn't it? But we have dominion over it. It's not going to have dominion over us. And if you do blow it, you're quick to repent, which keeps you in that born place, that new creation place. Amen? So it says that we're to keep ourselves. If we keep ourselves, the wicked one does not touch us or overtake us. Does everybody get it? He doesn't overtake you. In verse 20, wait a minute. That page 20. Verse 19. Let's read it. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Wow. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us a what? Understanding. And that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from what? So he's telling us what brings access to the devil to us. Idols. Amen. So if you're walking in the Spirit, the devil is not going to overtake you. It says he touches you not. That's a representation of overtaking us. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted, you're not going to be afflicted, you're not going to be attacked, but you won't allow it to be overtaken. Because every day we're attacked. Every night you're attacked. No matter where you go, you're attacked. Hello? Praise God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But you know what? So many people can get so much caught up in their attacks, they lose sight of God. And that's what the devil wants to do, is have you lose sight of who you are. Just remember, it says that if you're walking in the Spirit, the devil doesn't overtake you. That's what he says about, he won't touch you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Is everybody there? Let's read it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. So if you're separated unto the Lord and you're sanctified unto the Lord, the devil has less access to you, or he can't overtake you. Does everybody get it? That you should abstain from what? Sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor. So it's our responsibility for sanctification and honor, isn't it? Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Well, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. So you and I are called to be sanctified and holy. Many people who are still touching unclean things and going to places they shouldn't open the door to demonic activity. So walking in the Spirit, the devil can't overtake you. Amen? And walking in, and the reason why walking in the Spirit, the devil can't overtake you, is because by walking in the Spirit, you are sanctified. Everybody with me? Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Let's start at verse 19. Psalm 34, 19. Read it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now let me share something with you. You're being afflicted by demons. Do you understand that? Afflictions are coming by demonic forces against you. I don't care what it is. Whether it's sickness, oppression, fear, doubt, whatever it is, you're being afflicted by demonic forces. In verse 20 it says, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be what? Condemned. So understand that all afflictions are demonic. Now, of course, if you walk and stub your toe against something, you can't blame the devil. Hello? If you pick up somebody that's real heavy and you hurt your back, you can't blame the devil. In Psalm 41. If you eat something, you know, and you feel sick, you can't blame the devil. Hallelujah. In verse 3, can you all read it with me? 41:3. Now let's start at verse 2. I guess we'll start at verse 1, okay? Hallelujah. Just scratch it out and put verse 1. Big wide one, you know? Let's read it. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, and you will sustain him on his sick bed. Now, praise God. Now, listen. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Wow. Now, listen. Many are the afflictions that are righteous, but he delivers them out of all, right? Well, here's a brother that, or a sister, whoever, has been afflicted. And he's been given to the poor, but the promise is that someone who's assisting others in the will of God, hello, and in the Spirit, even though that this person has been afflicted, God is going to deliver them. And this is where you and I must stand, that even when we get afflicted, that we must hold faith, we must stand steadfast in faith that God is going to deliver us, no matter what. But it doesn't mean that you're just going to sit there and wait for God to deliver you. It means you're going to resist the devil and attack him. And you're going to fight until the Lord delivers you. Amen? I got so many people go, well, I'm waiting on God. And then that demon just gets dormant and that person gets healthy. But down the road again, that person gets sick again because that demon's never left him. Because he's not been delivered. Hello? You know, the demon needs to use that body too. Hallelujah. So you will get sick, but he will deliver you. Why? Because he's a daddy. You know, one day, I had sniffles and so forth, and I've shared this testimony over and over. I'm going to share it again right now. Just to give comfort and exhortation to the Lord. And I was in my living room when I was with some of my brothers in Christ, and we just got back from a prayer meeting, and I had the sniffles and so forth, and I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, you're going to be afflicted. And I knew it was Daddy. And I said, well, what do I do? And he said, don't worry about it, I'm going to heal you. I said, okay. That night I was afflicted like I've never been afflicted in my life. Did you ever hear of spinal meningitis? Let me tell you something. I was crippled. My hands were swiveled. I couldn't stand on my feet. I was in my bed crying to God in such pain at night. And I kept singing, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. I tried to get out of my bed. I rolled out of my bed, fell in the living room. And my wife got up, brought me to the other room. She wanted to bring me to the hospital. I said, no, the Lord's going to heal me. The Lord's going to heal me. She got up early the next morning. She went to morning prayer. They were all interceding and praying for me. I was kind of like blacking in and out, in and out. I kept seeing my brothers and sisters just laying over me, laying hands on me and praying for me, and me getting healed. And my temperature was 102. And it wouldn't come down. It just wouldn't come down. It'd go up a little bit more and come down and go up and come down. But it was always around 102. My wife was freaking out being a nurse. And she goes, you know, I know the Lord can deliver you and heal you, but, you know, we're supposed to do it, you know. And I said, but I got to tell you, the Lord said he's going to heal me. He told me this affliction was coming. I could barely talk. My head felt like it was a balloon. And so she came. She says, if your temperature's not down when I come back from morning prayer, I'm bringing you to the hospital. Well, she came back from morning prayer, and my temperature wasn't down. I was not able to hold anything down. I was dehydrated for days. And so she came with one of my other brothers in Christ, And he came over and he laid his hands on me and he rebuked the spirit of fever. And then they dressed me because I couldn't dress myself and I would not go to the hospital, but I said I would go to the clinic, the local clinic. And by the time we got to the local clinic, they put me in the local, they brought me there, and they put me in the doctor's office. By the time the doctor came and put the thermometer in my mouth, I was totally healed. My temperature was normal. He says, there's nothing wrong with you. I said, amen. I went around telling everybody about Jesus here. But see, the Lord says that even though you'll be afflicted, he will deliver you. But the one thing you've got to do is when you sit back and go, oh, God, I'm waiting on God, that takes longer. But if you're totally trusting and fighting and hanging on to the Lord, you'll be delivered quickly. Amen? So many are the afflictions that are righteous, but he delivers us out of them all. Everybody's going to get sick. I don't know nobody that anybody who says they haven't been sick is sick. I've never been sick. You're sick, man. You need deliverance. You got a lying devil trying to be a spiritual granola. Psalm 50. Hallelujah. Psalm 50 and verse 15, somewhere around there. Yeah, 15 is good. Let's read it together. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God delivers us so that he can be glorified. Amen? So we will be afflicted, won't we? But we got to stand fast and steadfast, resist the devil in faith, attack him in faith, and trust the Lord is going to deliver you. Go to 138, Psalm 138. Hallelujah. So in other words, we can't look at our circumstances in the present, amen. We're looking at what God has already done for us 2,000 years ago, and he's about to manifest it shortly. And that's in anything, not only sickness, amen. That's not only in sickness, but that's in oppression, possession, you know, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. God, if you're holding fast there, the Lord is faithful. He's going to do it. Even in prayer, if you're praying for somebody, he's going to eventually do something. A circumstance will come around. Believe me, prayer causes circumstances. Hallelujah. God does the delivering. Psalm 138. In verse, I have written 7, so let me see. Yeah, that's cool. Psalm 138 and verse 7. Let's read it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. So we see there he is going to save us, isn't he? He's going to deliver us, and he's going to utilize what you've been through to perfect you. Remember, we're always working on perfection. We're going from glory to glory, aren't we? Amen. So no matter what your circumstances, as long as you're holding fast, as long as you're resisting the devil and attacking him and doing what you're supposed to, you know, steadfast just doesn't mean to stay dormant. You know, I hear a lot of people, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, what are you doing? Nothing. Well, that's not steadfast. Amen? That's not steadfast. Steadfast is to resist the devil's attack and attack him. That's steadfast. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. You know, and let me share this with you, and don't take this out of context. Don't, you know. I hear a lot of people, well, God said his grace is sufficient. Amen. His grace is sufficient. But he says, get steadfast. Get steadfast. It's his grace that it's allowed me and you to get steadfast. Amen. It's his grace that's allowed me and you to take dominion. See, they go only to part one about it, not part two. And then they're afflicted for a long time. And they're still going, well, God, well, Paul was afflicted. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Psalm 23. Well, you foolish flesh creature, get out of yourself and do something. Glory to God. Okay. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Read it with me, please. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, you know, even though you're going to walk in the shadow of death, even you're going to walk through these afflictions, the Lord is with us. You know, the one thing the devil always says is God left you. Now you got to wait on him. You know, like you're waiting at a bus stop for God, you know. That's not how it works. But that's what the devil would like you to think. Uh-oh, I missed the bus. I must have missed God. I'm waiting on God. But God is with you, isn't he? Let's go to Luke 22. This is one of the main things of maintaining deliverance, you know that? Because the devil's always going to, he's the what? He's a thief, he's a stealer. I mean, he's come to destroy, to kill. He wants to steal everything. Isn't he the one that steals the seed? You know, I've seen people get healed and they lose it. Because they don't stand steadfast. They don't fight to keep what they have. Praise be to God. Luke 22. Glory to God. It's for me and you. Hallelujah. Once I get there, I think I missed my bus and went to John. Luke 22. And verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, is everybody there? Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Well, that sounds like he wants to afflict them. Sifting as wheat is a pretty big affliction. That's what I felt like when I was afflicted. I'm telling you, I felt like I was sifted. And verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your what? Faith should not fail. Do y'all get it? It doesn't mean you're not going to be afflicted. But you can't lose faith. You can't get pushed off a steadfast. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. In other words, when you've gone through, when you've endured through that affliction, strengthen someone else that's gone through it. Amen? Because you're going to go through it. People think that when they come to Jesus Christ, everything's all over with. That's it. Well, I should walk in perfect health. I should never be sick again. I should never do that. I never should have a bad thought. Oh, Lord, I thought you were, you know, I got a new mind and all this other. No. You have dominion over all things now. Amen? The tree of knowledge, good and evil, ain't left you yet. But you don't have to eat its fruit. God be the glory. So we can't lose faith. Go to Psalm 37. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. And all things work to the good to those who what? Love the Lord. Praise God. according to his purpose. Amen. Psalm 37. Is everybody there? Verse 3, please. 3 and 4. And we'll see where we're going. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. You know what that means, do good? That means stand steadfast. Do good. Resist the devil. And then attack him. Dwell in the land and feed on what? His faithfulness. Stand fast. Verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Don't you want to get healed, delivered, restored to your joy? Amen. And verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will what? Bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your countenance as the noonday. Praise be to God. Now look at it. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Amen? So you're to stand fast. Resist the devil's attack in faith and attack him back, so that you can maintain. Trust in the Lord that he hears, that he will deliver, and he is faithful to complete what he has started in me and you. So we are to eat on his faithfulness. We are to feed on his faithfulness, right? Praise be to God. James 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this is just not about afflictions towards you. It's also about circumstances in your life. Does everybody get it? Some of us need to get delivered from circumstances in our life. Some people are in debt. Some people have a lot of stuff going on in their family affairs. In other words, deliverance is just not for sicknesses and diseases and demonic, you know, it's from all things, because all things, actually the root of it is demonic attack in some way or another, isn't it? Whether it be at your job, whatever, if you stand steadfast in the faith, resist the devil's attack and attack him, trust in the Lord, it's going to come to pass, whatever it is, even at jobs. But you got to trust in the Lord. You can't stay in the boat. You got to get out of the boat. Amen? Why? Well, that's resisting the devil. See, the devil likes to tie you up in a boat and kick you out. And this is where we stand. Well, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. Oh, man, you just missed the bus and the ferry. Well, I'm still waiting. God expects me and you to do something. Amen. James 1. Brother James. And in verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now listen to this. Everyone's going to be tempted. It's a part of afflictions, isn't it? Everyone. The Bible tells us that we're going to be tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Amen? We're going to be tempted. But it says, blessed is he who endures temptations. Well, the only way to endure a temptation is to resist it, isn't it? Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So God's not tempting us or afflicting us. Not that he's not allowing it to happen. Hello? But he's not the one doing it. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? Own desires and enticed. So that means we're listening to desires. Then when desires has conceived, it gives birth to what? Sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth? Wow. Doesn't the devil want to bring separation? Because death means separation between you and God. Amen? So temptation must be resisted. Steadfast in the faith. Amen? We must maintain our deliverance. We must maintain our freedom. And the one thing the devil wants to do is bring you back into bondage. That's his job. In Matthew 12. Verse 43. Everybody there? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. But it wasn't filled, was it? No, it wasn't filled. But it was empty and swept and put in order. But he didn't replace it. He had to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's another good thing, isn't it? Why? Well, one of the things is the person didn't resist the temptation, and you can't resist the temptation without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can only go so far in your own strength. Amen? Praise God. So understand this, that the demons will come back even though they didn't succeed the first time. They didn't succeed the second time. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the Bible says that he was attacked by the tempter again at another opportunity, opportune time. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. And verse 6. This is Paul speaking. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. No. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, understand this. He said that a messenger of Satan buffeted his flesh. Amen? Of course, we know that Paul had great revelations from God, didn't he? In fact, his revelations put him in a position where the man was so in the spirit at times that he didn't get it, that when he would come, in other words, that his flesh would still be hindered. Does everybody understand that? It was like, wait a minute. Now, people thought that he was sick. It was not about anything sickness. Because when he pleaded with the Lord said to him, listen, my grace is sufficient. I cannot move that thorn in your flesh. Because you would have to die then. Does everybody get it? Because the thorn in his flesh was his flesh. Because that's what the devil attacks, doesn't he? Even though we don't fight flesh and blood, but he attacks our members, doesn't he? He attacks our mind, he takes our will, and so forth. If he can attack your flesh, he gets access to you. Your flesh is the seed of the serpent. It is of dust, and dust is cursed, isn't it? And anything where it curses, the devil has access to it. But he doesn't have dominion over it.
Everybody get it? So Paul was over here going, listen, you know, I'm being attacked. Where is he being attacked? In his flesh. And he let the he pleaded with the Lord. He knew it was from Satan, didn't he? It was not a sickness or a disease. He realized that his flesh was hindering him. Man, my flesh ain't no good. The Bible says that our flesh is the what? Fallen nature, isn't it? That's why our spirit man must be strong. Our soul must be renewed. And we must walk in the spirit so that our flesh is crucified. Amen. It doesn't mean that you won't be afflicted. Paul stated right there. He was afflicted, wasn't he? Big time. So what was happening? The demons were attacking in his flesh, weren't they? Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. I have betrothed you to one husband, that means engaged, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's steadfast in faith, resisting the devil. That's the simplicity in Christ. And attacking him. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, hello, that means believers can receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, do something. Does everybody get it? And what are we to do? Resist steadfast in the what? Faith. Resist his attack and attack him in the faith. Does everybody get it? Now, where was he attacking here? In the mind, wasn't he? Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3. Let's read it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So that's very important, isn't it? You can't punish something that you're not obedient first. That's why the Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. Thoughts that stop individuals from going forward and receiving. Let me share something with you. One of the things that the devil likes to attack you with is to bring you back in bondage. He starts shooting laziness to you. Laziness is one of the open doors for demonic activity. Laziness. That's a fruit of a spirit being there. Laziness. Let me share something. Compromise, criticism, rebellion, unsubmissive, not willing to receive counsel, pride, attitude, motive, all of these things are reflections of certain things of demonic activity in an individual's life. Everybody get it? You know, if you've ever gone into a you know, the Bible says that when the house gets cleaned up, right, and put in order, and the demons come back, well, if it's not filled with God's presence, they can tempt you a lot easier, can't they? You know, it's the same thing anywhere. You know, when in some of these houses that we've gone into, let me tell you what. We had a guy that was with us one time who was handicapped, right? So he couldn't take care of his house, but he was a drug addict, boozer, let his house go, no running water, no electricity. We went in that house, I'm telling you, there were rats in that house. I mean, it was wretched. We cleaned that house from head to toe. It was just disgusting. And let me tell you something. Uncleanliness draws demonic activity. Uncleanliness. God is the God of order, isn't he? And if you can see, that's an outward fruit. Outward fruit of laziness, compromise. Didn't Jesus say, listen, better for you not to have known instead of being lukewarm, right? So he said he'd vomit us out. So we have to be hot. We have to be on top of things. Because that means we're not resisting the devil steadfast. We're allowing him to take dominion over and mess us up with either uncleanliness, fear, doubt, whatever it may be. But the one thing that he attacks us with, you know, the Bible, there's a book called out that the devil likes a tired individual. Oh, he loves to attack that person. Tax him. Bam, bam, bam. Of course, we need to get rest, right? I mean, believe me, I know that when I stretch myself beyond, I get afflicted. And the Lord says to me, I've been telling you, you need some rest. Okay, Papa. Okay. And then the phone rings. And it's like, no, no, no. But praise God. You know, so we must resist the devil steadfast in all things, right? We must resist him in all things. We must resist him in laziness. You know, we must resist him in uncleanliness. We must resist him in compromise. We must resist him in rebellion, criticism. We must be willing to take counsel. Believe me, if your brothers are coming to you with something, there's something wrong. If you don't see it, it means you're blinded. And we have to eat humble pie. Believe me, when people come to me and tell me certain things, I have to search it through. Because the devil can blind any of us, can't he? None of us is made of it. None of us is perfect. No? Praise God. Okay. Let's go on. Why? We don't want to lose our deliverance, do we? We don't want to lose our freedom. We don't want to get brought back into bondage. 2 Timothy verse 1. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. One of the great emotional areas that the devil attacks us in is fear. Fear. And in verse 7 it says, verse 6, let's go to verse 6. Because this is important. Let's read it together. Therefore I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What's he talking about? Stirring yourself up. Steadfast. Resist the devil and attack him. For God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but what?
Power.
Look at, come on, man. The first thing he says is what? Power. And of love and of a what? Sound mind. So let me share something with you. When you grab hold of fear, when you grab hold of all of these other things, laziness, criticism, all of these other things, the things that begin to melt down is power, sound mind, and love. They all begin to melt down. That's why it's important for you and I to stir ourselves up in the Spirit. The reason why you stir yourself up is to get in the Spirit. Okay? Walk in the faith. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Step out. Trust God. Ephesians 4. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. Is everybody there? That's why people lose what God's given them. You notice how people start off real, yeah, man, hallelujah, I'm going all the way. I'm doing it. You know what they're doing? They're stepping on faith. Yeah, rebuke that devil. Yeah, this, you know. They're stirring themselves up. Then after about a year, they, well, God's grace is sufficient. They lose the zeal for God. They become lazy. Criticize. They've been taking all the demonic forces and don't even know it. Hallelujah. They lose their deliverance. Verse 17, is that what I said? Sounds good to me. Okay. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in futility of their what? Their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. That's called the devil. Because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to the work of what? Uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned Christ. Or you have not stirred yourself up in Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt and according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's our responsibility to put on the new man. It's our responsibility to resist steadfast the thoughts that come. Amen? It's our responsibility to cleanse ourselves. It's our responsibility to keep ourselves. It's our responsibility. John 5. Right again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. Praise be to God. You know, you can go pray for somebody and they can be hindered by a spirit, right? And you can pray for them, you can command the spirit to go, you can bless them or whatever, but if the person's heart isn't truly wanting to do the right thing and it's only just a temporary release, that individual's going to get snagged again quick. If that individual isn't willing to make changes in their life to walk in this new freedom, he's going to get snagged again. Amen? John 5, verse 13. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. What was he telling him? Don't do the same thing again, or worse things will happen. Now the guy has just been healed. He's been delivered. Healing represents deliverance, doesn't it? He's been either healed of an affliction, delivered, whatever it was. He said, man, don't go do the same thing again, because worse things will come. Amen. So in other words, he was yielding to the devil again. He was yielding to the voice of the stranger. And God knows my heart. I can do it. It's all right. Lord, you know I'm just busy. Lord, you know all these things. She told you that. 2 Peter 2:20. Praise God. Second Peter 2:20. Is everybody there? Praise God. Let's do it. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Wow. Hello, that means they're going to have some trouble in exposing them. I don't need to go any further on that. That's enough. Let's go to Matthew 15. So what happens is what they're actually doing is defiling their own temple, aren't they? When you defile your own temple, you will open a door for demonic activity. Matthew 15 and verse 16. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Jesus had a wonderful way with words. He could have come right out and said, bonehead! He had a wonderful way with words. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they what? Defile a man. Let me tell you something. That opens another door. People can lose their stuff right from what they speak. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unclean hands does not defile a man. Amen? So you got to be careful what you speak, isn't it? Because that will defile a man. Anything that's defiled allows access to demonic activity. And if you allow access to demonic activity, you can lose what God has done for you. Isaiah 58. Did you ever notice that when somebody does something, they always blame everybody else? Well, man, they, you know, it's... Better be careful. Isaiah 58. Sounds like Flip Wilson. Well, the devil made me do it. Oh, no. But you just didn't resist. So. Isaiah 58. Praise God. In verse 9. Let's read this. Then you shall call and the Lord will what? Answer. You shall cry and you will what? Say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. Wow. Does everybody get it? Yeah. That's all I want to show you. So you got to be careful, because you can lose by just start opening your mouth. In fact, I usually see people use their deliverance. People get delivered. The next thing you know, because something doesn't happen their way, or they get offended, they start speaking things they shouldn't. Like we had to remove a guy last night from class. Spirit-filled believer, supposedly. And when our drug class, they started saying they were satanic. Anyway, we had to remove him. Yeah, he was the wrong spirit-filled. Hallelujah. Obviously, you didn't have understanding. So he had to go. All right, praise God. Let's go to James 5. Laying hands on the sick, casting out devils. For everybody. You know, but we got to learn to maintain our own deliverance so that we can share how somebody else maintain theirs. In 5:14. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of what? Faith, there we go again. We'll save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he commits sin, he will be forgiven. Why? Because, verse 16, he will confess his trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So even when you're praying, when praying for the sick, one of the things you want to be able to do is have them confess what? Sins. Amen. Go to 2 Kings 20. Kings chapter 20. So even when you're praying with the sick, you know, so many people are, you know, you're to do your part praying with the sick. Amen? Okay. Now listen, it's important that you don't get all caught up, because even when you're praying for people and you're taking authority and you're casting out devils, you're binding the strong. Listen, if you bind a strong man, there usually isn't much of a manifestation. It's done in faith. Amen? They must submit to you. Even when you're praying for the sick. Now, there are some people who will not take their medication. Let me share something with you. Medication, taking medication is not sin. Amen? In fact, God created all things, didn't he? He created the medication. I won't tell people to whatever unless I'm led by the Lord or I know that that person has been healed. Amen. But sometimes in the process of their healing, they're still on medication. So you don't encourage someone to get off their medication while they're going through the healing and deliverance. Unless they know and they've gone to the doctor and so forth and they're totally healed. Amen. So, you know, we never want to mislead anyone in the wrong way. You know, and even when you pray for someone, usually there's times when, you know, if somebody comes out of their wheelchair and they're walking, of course, you don't want them to go back in their wheelchair because then they get lazy again, don't they? And they think about same thing when we prayed for the woman that had a brace on her knee. I wasn't led to tell her to take that brace off. She took it off herself. Praise God. Walked around the church. You know, but I wasn't led to tell her to take it off. So be it, you know. So you got to understand something. There are certain things that you just have to have the discernment and how far to go with it. All right? But what we want to do is just stand steadfast and trust God that he is faithful to complete what he started. Praise God. Now, I just want to show you in this verse here, because even Isaiah, let's start at verse 3. This is King Hezekiah. And he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly because he was sick and dying. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord God, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." He said on the third day, so he didn't heal him instantly, did he? And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he was. So that was his medication, wasn't it? Did everybody get it? And the Lord said, I'm going to heal you. And he did, didn't he? Healed him through the medication, didn't he? Okay, praise God. Now, in self-deliverance, there are certain things that we must do. Is everybody with me? Number one. Thank God for our suffering. And freedom. So you're thanking him for what the suffering you're going through, and you're thanking him for the freedom because he's about to free you. Thank God for our suffering and freedom. Repent of all sins that he brought to you in confession. Number two. Hallelujah. Resist the woe is me. Number three. Number four, take authority over the situation with the Word of God. Submit and surrender all to Jesus. Now, submit and surrender all to Jesus means to obey what he's telling you to do at that point, too. You understand that? Worship the Lord with all your heart and mind. That's number seven. Oh, that's number six. Number six, worship the Lord with all your heart and mind. You know, people go to worship the Lord and expecting something to happen. They're really not focused on the Lord. They're focused on the situation or whatever it may be. Number seven, stay away from the people, places, and things that will open the door again. Stay away from people, places, and things that will open the door again. Now this is not only for your own self-deliverance, but for your continued, this is what's maintaining things. Amen? It's maintaining your freedom. And remember, deliverance is the ministry for all believers. We are all to keep ourselves clean and help others stay clean. As you bind the demons and cast them out, trust God, not the manifestation. Everybody get it? The fruit of freedom will bring joy. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Let's do it. And to God be the glory.